All right, well, let me jump on into today's Right Side Way opening monologue. I'll remind you guys that, as always, Stan McDonald, partner at the law firm of Wilmer & Lee. Stan McDonald, a 30-year veteran in the practice of law, is the daily sponsor of the Right Side Way monologue, and I'll tell you more about Stan here in just a few minutes. All right, so kicking it off, I got to say, one of the big stories out there right now is the fact that Democrats in New York City just nominated a radical Islamic fundamentalist, defund the police socialist, to be their candidate for mayor. Let that job description sink in. Mayor. And let that description of him sink in. A radical Islamic fundamentalist, defund the police socialist. By the way, by his own admission. The same city that still bears the scars of the biggest terror attack in the history of the U.S., the Big Apple, the crossroads of the world, Times Square, Central Park. A city, by the way, that has an annual budget of, wait for it, $112 billion for that city. Y'all, there's only four states, whole states, that have a bigger budget than New York City by itself. If New York City were to separate itself and become its own country, it would have the 12th largest country economy in the world. The Democrats in that city just chose their candidate to run for mayor, Mr. Zohran Mamdani. Yep, there he is, Zohran Mamdani. He's espoused such nonsense as spending $65 million to provide so-called gender-affirming care to minors. He's a big fan of the idea of paving over municipal golf courses so he can build more affordable housing using tax dollars. He wants to take over grocery stores and have government-run grocery stores in order to fix prices in low-income neighborhoods. One of his recent social media posts said, and I quote, "Together we can tax the rich, heal the sick, house the poor, defund the police, and build a socialist New York." His words, not mine. Mamdani actually claims that he will root out bigotry across New York City with an 800% increase in funding for hate crime prevention, which sounds an awful lot like the wicked combination of DEI, CRT, and censorship that we just endured for the last 4 years. Liberals are running headlong, in my opinion, into a meat grinder of anti-liberal sentiment. I say that because they are. Keep in mind that while New York City may still be a bastion of blue politics overall, that it's also the city that recently acquitted Daniel Penny and swung more towards Donald Trump in greater degree than most any other blue city in the nation. Billionaire entrepreneur Bill Ackman, he posted an epic social media post on X this morning saying that he believes that much of New York City woke up in the last 24 hours, sort of like a buyer's remorse moment hitting the masses and realizing that socialism would devastate the Big Apple. He's already coordinating with other like-minded big money backers to find and support a write-in candidate that would change the makeup of the election. Well, we'll see. I hope it's not too little too late. But the fact is, New York City is not yet lost to us. And liberals, I believe, are potentially running into a meat grinder. And they do. They always do. Liberals always overreach. It's in their nature. They cannot see the forest for the trees. They don't know when too much of their bad ideas becomes a time of backlash. Liberals remind me of that epic story of failed leadership who could not see that they were running into danger. You know the story. The Charge of the Light Brigade. Charge of the Light Brigade. You ever read it? A narrative poem that was published in the 1850s, written by Alfred Lord Tennyson. Cannons to the left of them, cannons to the right of them, cannons in front of them, volleyed in thunder. This is the famous poem where the line comes, "From theirs not to reason why, theirs but to do or die, into the valley of death rode the 600. But it was more than a poem. It was actually written just 6 weeks after a scandalous defeat of the British Light Brigade in the Battle of Balaclava in the Boer War, 1854. The whole thing was a study in recklessness, disjointed leadership, poor communication. It was a real story. The poem was written as an ode to a thing that had just happened when British soldiers went into a meat grinder. The British were initially to charge one defensive position, but multiple factors relating to poor decision-making caused them to veer off their target. One that was heavily defended and well-entrenched, by the way, is where they wound up. They charged into what became known as the Valley of Death, over 600 troopers, lightly armed, built for speed more than sustained battle. Warnings were tried, but as history would dictate, the command, in Tennyson's words, had blundered. A three-quarter-mile-long charge into a heavily defended valley in which the opposing force held staggering numbers by comparison. Over 20 battalions of dug-in infantry, supported by 50 artillery pieces, just blasted the Light Brigade as they charged. The opposition held their ground, gave no quarter, sending withering fire from three sides in to rain down on the ranks of the Light Brigade, which devastated their force during the charge. Some of them made it to the target, but they were unable to sustain the fight then, and they quickly had to withdraw and to avoid annihilation. One war correspondent who was present at the time, he said the Light Brigade was wiped out by their own rashness and by the brutality of their ferocious enemy. So yeah, in the end, the Light Brigade was not completely destroyed, but they were no longer combat effective. Of the just over 600 men who entered the Valley of Death, 118 were killed, 127 wounded, 60 were taken prisoner. In the end, there were only 195 men, less than one-third of their original combat strength, who could even take the field after that. The opposing force is said to have thought the British cavalrymen must have been drunk because of the futility of their charge. A French marshal who viewed the battle was quoted as saying, "It's magnificent, but it is not war. It is madness." To this day, the charge of the Light Brigade remains a case study for modern historians on what can go wrong when accurate military intelligence is lacking and communications are poor and orders are unclear. So why am I telling you all of this? You know, I always have a point here. My point today is that many conservatives see the modern cultural landscape and the level of wokeness being thrust at us from all sides, and some conservatives believe that maybe we're the Light Brigade. Maybe conservatives are the Light Brigade, charging headlong into the mix, doing all we can with the odds stacked against us, riding bravely but despairingly into the breach. Well, I'm here to tell you, no, it's just the opposite. You see, the conservative position right now is the well-entrenched superior force in both numbers and capabilities. It is liberals who are the ones riding recklessly into the valley against overwhelming odds. My wife, Charlene, she has a saying that comes out periodically. We talk about it here on the show all the time. It's about modern culture. Referring to conservatives, she has a habit of saying, "Well, there's more of us than there are of them." And she's right. Think about it. And take heart, by the way, when you think about it. Liberal progressives would have us believe that they're in the majority, that conservatives are a bunch of old school has-beens clinging to their Bibles and guns. Not at all. The principles of conservatism, like free markets and strong families and low taxation and limited government, they are still very much the mainstream. You look at a map of the United States. If you color the map traditional red and blue for the right and left sides of politics, well, the vast majority of this nation is actually red, and for good reason. Because the vast majority of the nation does not cotton to the notions being touted by the liberal progressives. Make no mistake, just like the Light Brigade, the liberal progressives of this nation, they are a fighting force in a policy arena. I get it. They're real. They are not to be underestimated, but they are also not to be feared. Because there's a whole lot more of us than there are of them. But it's more than just numbers. It's more than just numbers. It's our position. It's our capabilities. It's the fact that we are, in a sense, far better equipped as conservatives. You see, the positions taken by the left are often ridiculous. They may gain ground in the beginning, kind of like a fad, right? But they seldom have staying power. They cannot hold ground in the long term. I mean, consider the weapons in their arsenal. How long can they really sustain the argument that a man can get pregnant? We hold the high ground on that one. We should never give it up. Or how about the soft-on-crime stance taken by so many liberal DAs? Well, the American public will not long suffer a fool who claims to want to protect them and then do nothing to do it. Or how about vaccine mandates? They tried that right on the private sector. Vaccine mandates on the private sector. Well, that died a quick death in the courts because liberals just could not understand that government simply can't do whatever it wants to do with impunity. Or how about the fight for the unborn? Conservatives stayed in the trenches on that one for 50 straight years fighting Roe v. Wade for children in the womb. 50 years. But in the end, we won. And even Democrats now are beginning to hear the amazingly awful rhetoric coming out of those who worshipped at the feet of the abortion gods. Look, what I'm saying is this. We, conservatives, we own the high ground. We are not the ill-equipped, poorly led light cavalry charging into the valley of death. We're not. We're the ones who have the positions that are sustainable. We as conservatives are the ones who can defend our positions because they are eminently more defendable. Conservatives just need to make sure they don't allow the screeching charging of the liberal rabble to spook us off our positions. We're winning. We are. We're winning at every turn right now. And I know that New York just elected a Democrat, liberal, socialist, defund the police nut job to be their nominee. It does not mean this race is over. We cannot concede. I want our New York back. We are winning right now, and I believe we're going to win everything in the end. But like my lovely Charlene says, in this valley, there are indeed more of us than there are them. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.